I do think that celebrating God's plan for marriage is important to the church. It's important in our culture. It's important because of the pressures and the challenges of marriage, the challenges of finding and following God's plan in a broken world, in a world that often is hurting. It is good to celebrate God's plan for marriage. I want to focus this morning for a few minutes on one word and some scriptures about that word regarding marriage, and then I'm going to invite those that want to come and to just simply renew their vows together. Debbie and I are going to do that and then kind of show you what we're going to do and then invite you, if you would like to be a part of that, to do that. We're here today to celebrate life. Celebrate life at every stage, at every place. Marriage is one of those places that we want to affirm and celebrate, as there are many places in life that are important for us to focus on as a church and as a body of Christ, and affirming and holding up God's plan and setting an example in a world that is often broken, and we live among broken people. We are a broken people, and to affirm God's plan for marriage is a good thing for us to do. We celebrate life today. We celebrate all those who desire to honor God with their lives, and especially as we focus on marriage. God has created a beautiful gift of marriage. God created a gift beginning in the very earliest words of the Bible, in the book of Genesis chapter 1 and all throughout the Bible, as an affirmation of the importance of marriage. It's also an affirmation of life's journey and the difficulties and the sin and the problems that can come to families. And we have good examples and bad examples in the Scripture. Somebody says, well, should we only preach about the good examples in the Bible? That's not true. The whole Bible helps us to understand the full gospel of God and the truth of God. And the Bible has so much to say to us about families, about relationships, about marriage, about commitment, about how God views us and God sees us. God has created a beautiful gift of marriage and a lifetime commitment between a man and a woman through which God wants to bless. God wants to bless people, mankind, around the world. Marriage is a blessing from God. It's a beautiful gift that God gives. God does have a great plan, and it is to bless us. Some call it the institution of marriage. We know it's under attack today. I know I don't need to flail away at the obvious about the attack on marriage today. It's all around us. It's in our politics. It's in our government system. It's in our entertainment and the morals, our education system, and the pressures are going to get worse because Satan, the enemy, wants to divide, wants to destroy what God has made for good. Whatever God has made for good, Satan wants to turn that around, and Satan wants to bring pain to people. And so today we celebrate the gift of God and say we stand for the gift of God. We stand for His plan and want to do everything that we can. God's authority in every area of our lives, and marriage is one of them. Marriage is to be honored. Now would you look at this passage in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. And I kind of want it to be a theme for us as for a few minutes I talk about marriage today. Let me read it. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral. The word that I want to focus on this morning for a few minutes is the word honor, and how precious it is that God tells us and calls us to honor marriage. Honor marriage. God wants us to hold this institution of marriage up in a very high way. He wants us to view marriage and view what it stands for in a way that many people today are trying to undermine and destroy. There's something about marriage that comes from the heart of God. We see several comparisons or analogies throughout the Scriptures about marriage and about husbands and brides and about how God views His people. You think about all the symbolism of marriage throughout the Bible. There's many ways that God affirms the importance of marriage and helps us to understand that marriage is a part of His creative order. And if you attack and you throw out part of the created order, you are rejecting the authority of God. So I want to say to us as a church, to us, whether we're single or we're married or our spouses have passed away or we're divorced, that God gives the privilege and opportunity of every Christian to affirm marriage and affirm the wonder and the goodness that God gives us in marriage. Two principles that I see in this verse that get my attention. The first one is the importance of honoring in our hearts, honoring in our language, honoring in our relationships, honoring other people, honoring our spouses. Honor is a very important word in Scripture. And this is one of the places that we're commanded in Scripture that we're to show honor. We're to show honor to marriage by all. Honored by all. It doesn't say just honored by those that have been married a long time, or honored by newlyweds, or honored by men, or honored by women. But the Scriptures tell us that marriage should be honored by all. And so we in the body of Christ, and how precious the body of Christ is, need to hold up the importance of marriage and affirm its importance. Honor. Several words come to mind as I think about that word honor in this verse. I think of the word esteem, holding in high regard, cherishing, protecting, holding a place of importance in our understanding of God's order and God's plan for our lives. And then the word also there of purity. That's not so much my focus today. A couple of weeks ago, I talked a little bit more about this, but how precious the word purity is. And God desires that our lives and our sexuality would be pleasing to Him. One of the greatest gifts that God gives is our sexuality, and how important it is for us to honor that sexuality and to understand God's beautiful plan, the meaning of sex, the purpose of sex, the joy of sex, the wonder of the unity that God gives through that intimacy that this amazing Creator was able to design, so important to the heart of God. Today we affirm God's plan for Christian marriage. Genesis chapter 1, in the very first book of the Bible, we read these words. So God created man in His own image. In the image He created him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply. And the 27th verse of the Bible, God gives us a picture of marriage. God tells us something about how God views men and women, how God views His creation. I mean, this is in the creation story, and we're told that we are important to God. We are created in His image. And that God made male and female way back there. This isn't something that evolved over time, but God made a plan. God had the creativity of the male and the female, and all throughout His creation we see that, and we come to the sixth day. We come to the last of God's beautiful creation. He created man in His own image, male and female, and God's plan and God's purpose is to bless. God's purpose is to bless mankind and bless the creation that He has made. Now you look at this proverb. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. All throughout Scripture, we have little affirmations of the importance of marriage, the importance of sensing the value in this relationship that we call marriage. I mean, it was God who brought and created Adam and Eve, and He brought Eve to Adam and said, this is now bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And God created this, and we're to value this. We're to hold on to it and to highlight it. God's plan is that for marriage will be a great blessing and will be until death. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Kind of behind this, written into this verse, is that reminder of God calling us back to that day that we said yes, calling us back to the day that we said I do, calling us back to the wonder of that day of commitment, and saying that's where God wants your heart to rejoice, that's where God wants your heart to be. And so the words on my heart today are about marriage and honor, that God desires that we would honor Him and honor marriage. Why do we honor marriage? Number one, because when we honor marriage, we honor the Creator. We honor God when we honor His creation. We honor God when we hold in our hearts and cherish in our hearts what God cherishes. God loves marriage. God loves that relationship. I mean, His creative power was unleashed on the sixth day into this lifetime commitment that He gives us as a gift between a man and a woman. God cherishes marriage. And so when we honor marriage, we honor the Creator. We also are affirming God's authority. We're saying, God, You're in charge of our lives. You're in charge of the universe. You're in charge of the creation. You're in charge of our homes. You're in charge of the order of who we are. We bring glory to God when we honor Him. We fulfill God's creative purpose when we affirm marriage. We say, God, we give You the glory for the creation. We embrace what's important to You. We hold on to it. We also find such fulfillment in marriage. And that almost stands without saying how God can use marriage to bring together two people in this beautiful relationship of love and care and commitment. And that's a part of the beautiful plan. That's not just a random thing that happens. That's what God plans. That's what God wants. That's what God wants for every marriage. We also build a better world, a world of love, a world of children, a world of life. And so we celebrate marriage today. It is one way that we live out God's love. Christian marriage, there are many, but one of the ways that we live out the love of God, God is love. The way we live that out, one way we do, is by loving our spouse and being committed to marriage and being committed to that person that is very different from us, but God calls us to be one. When we focus on that and celebrate that, we are living out God's love. Think of it maybe this way. Think of your marriage as a place to honor God. Think of your relationship with your spouse. This is an opportunity for you to honor God. It's an opportunity for you to say, God, I honor You by putting into practice the principles and the truth of Christian marriage and listening to what God says. I want to suggest five words this morning to honor marriage. Five things that I think, and the first one really pretty much covers the other four, but five ways to honor marriage. The first one is this, is a partner-first spirit. A partner-first spirit. I've come to believe for a long time that the biggest problem for marriages that are hurting is simply selfishness. There's not really a whole lot to say about it, but the problem in hurting and broken relationships most of the time is selfishness. I know I've had to come to terms with that in my heart and my life and my marriage and growing and trying to understand how to be a good husband and try to understand Debbie and be the husband that God wants me to, and all the couples that I know and I've talked to and in my family and in the church and in the community, and knowing that there are conflicts that come up in marriage, I just want to say pretty basically the root problem of almost every problem in marriage is self-centeredness and the inability to really hear and sense and cherish the needs of the other person, because we're rooted in our own needs, our own thoughts, our own desires, our own perspective. It's all about us. It really is. And this is a battle that God can help us with through sanctifying us and touching our hearts and changing our hearts. But very simply today, if I could give marriage advice to anybody, including myself looking in the mirror, it's this. Self-centeredness is the biggest issue in conflict. It's the inability to be unselfish and to totally give yourself to another person. The Bible talks a lot about this servanthood spirit and how important it is for every couple, for every husband, for every wife to be unselfish. God calls us to serve one another. The Scripture says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. So I'd say to you husbands out there, if you're having conflict or when you have conflict, we all have conflict, but when you have conflict, look in the mirror and say, Am I being self-centered? Am I being selfish? Is this really about me? And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, most conflicts can be resolved when the person looking in the mirror says, I need to back up from that self-centered spirit. God calls the husband and the wife to an unselfishness, to seeing their partner as better than they, as the scripture talks about, that we should view one another, including in marriage, including our husband and our wife, as better as ourselves. If you have conflict in your marriage, I think that's the first question to ask. Am I being selfish? Am I demanding my way? Am I saying what I want is more important than what you want? Is what I need, I expect, more important than hearing your heart and your needs? And I believe if God's people would ask that question and look in the mirror and respond to it, most conflicts would be resolved. The second thing I want to mention this morning is how important it is to have a faithful spirit. I won't give up. I won't give out. I won't give in. I will protect my marriage. I will be self-disciplined. I will show self-control. And I will be faithful in every aspect of my relationship to my marriage partner. I will be faithful with my words. I will be faithful with my attitude. I will be faithful when I have relationships with other people. I will be absolutely faithful to you no matter what. A faithful spirit is a way that we honor marriage. Doesn't mean that marriage is always easy. We know it's not. There's another obvious thing. It's not always easy, but we can have the determination to have a faithful spirit. And I don't mean just in areas of fidelity, but I mean in every area of protecting our marriage, protecting that person. Number three, a flexible spirit. I believe that a godly marriage has a flexible spirit, the ability to look within, the ability to look at your own faults, the ability to compromise, to adjust your expectations, the ability to step back. Sometimes when people begin to have conflict, it's both of them, they come right at each other, and instead of stepping back, giving room, giving space, listening, saying, God, if you want to speak to me about my conflict and my issues, God, I'm open to that. You might call it a humble spirit. A way to honor marriage, having a flexible spirit. I don't know if you want to, but if you want to write down five words this morning or take them with them, the first one is partner first, two words. A faithful spirit, a flexible spirit. The third one is a forgiving spirit. We all need that. We need that in relationships. We need that in the body of Christ. We need that in our families of origin. We need that in the workplace. And we need that so much in marriage, because none of us are whole people. We try to be, we want to be, but we have hurts in our lives. We all have perspectives of how we grew up and what's important to us and how we're impacted by that, and how that's governed how we think, how we feel, how we react, how we respond. And just say how important a forgiving spirit is. You can choose to have a forgiving spirit in your marriage. You can have a soft, gentle, tender spirit, or you can have a spirit that's tight, a spirit that's demanding. And when you do, though, that God calls us to have a spirit that's forgiving. So the fourth word I'd like you to take home this morning is the word forgiving. The last word, the fifth word this morning, is a fun spirit. We are on a journey. And it's important that we realize that. It's a long journey. And we're not always, we don't always make it where we want to go each moment and each turn in the road. And life is a journey. That faithful spirit and that fun spirit come together. God calls us to have a spirit that enjoys life, living the journey together. The word that comes to my mind is partnering, being a partner in the journey. Not always taking everything so absolutely serious, and not having to react with everything that's done and said. Under this category, I would put the word flexibility again, patience, grace, being able to have grace for a partner who's not perfect, and we know that we all are. But realizing that God wants us to work through and live through the good times and the hard times. Partner first, faithful, flexible, forgiving. and fun. The Bible does give us great insight for a blessed marriage, and there's so many scriptures. I just want to say categorically today how deep and practical the Bible is about marriage. Some people think, well, what does the Bible say about marriage? The honest truth is when you start looking and you start reading and meditating and honestly dealing with what the scriptures are talking about, they address, I think, just about every aspect of marriage. I was this week thinking that through and thinking about different areas of marriage and different areas of conflict and different areas of goals and expectations. And I found so many scriptures that I never realized existed that give great counsel about marriage. We don't have time today to go into them today, but just in every area of marriage, even beginning with dating and choosing someone to spend your life with. I was amazed what the Bible says about that. It does say a lot about that. The principles about who you choose to give your heart to and your affections are so important. I say to you who are single here and thinking about someday dating or maybe dating now or maybe wanting to be married, the Bible says a lot about how you choose that person that you give your life to. Dating, meeting your spouse's needs. A lot of scriptures about how husbands can understand their wives and wives how they understand their husbands, being one. And again, the whole area of intimacy and how important that is to God's plan for marriage. We kind of sometimes don't think a lot or read a lot about the scriptures, but there's a lot of biblical counsel about the importance of intimacy and what God wants in that gift for your relationship and your marriage. There's just so many things. I'm going to read two scriptures and then soon come to an end here. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33 is a powerful place to stop and study. If you've written down five words, I'm going to give you two scriptures also to think about. Ephesians chapter 5. However, each one of you also must love your wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. The two words, love and respect, are so important. There's another scripture that says not the opposite, but it says that the wives are to love and the men are to respect. And we're not going to take time to read all of them this morning, but it's an excellent scripture. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same ways, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of all the gracious gift of life. The word respect and honor, they go together in marriage. The gracious gift of life, don't waste it. Well, one more little piece of advice, and this comes from someone else who emailed me last night with this piece of advice for marriage. If you want to be treated like a king, treat her like a queen.